Good morning, everybody. We're GFES. We're Grand Forks' best source. On the show today, East Grand Forks girls high school head hockey coach Brian Larson. We're wrapping up our high school hockey coaches here on the show. By the way, today's show brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change, the place where you need to go if you want an oil change fast. Basically, no wait time. You can sit in your car, you can go do a little shopping, and they're going to do more than just check your oil, too. Check your wiper blades, your fluids, your cabin air filter, head and taillights, battery, check your tires. They do tranny and coolant flushes. Did I mention no appointment needed? I tell you what, I had my last oil change there a couple of weeks ago. In and out like you wouldn't believe. And if you mention Grand Forks Best Source, they'll give you an additional $7 savings on your oil change. And if you can't leave work, if you live in town here, they'll even come and pick your vehicle up. Locally owned and operated, open 7 days a week and fast. Valvoline Instant Oil Change, 3325 South 38th Street, or call 701-780-8462. Make sure you tell them Grand Forks Best Source sent you. Well, if you have any questions for Coach Larson or any of us, our phone number here, 701-213-0863. That is 701-213-0863. And before we get rolling, time now for our daily segment called Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Here we go. Jokes My Neighbor Tells Me. Why is the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto? Why is the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto? Well, so Maple Leaf fans can see what the Stanley Cup looks like, too. What do you think, Paul?
I didn't get it.
Maple Leafs aren't very good.
Oh.
Yeah, they'll never win the Stanley Cup.
Oh, okay.
That at is, least not that I can see in the future.
Then it was a lot more funny.
Yeah. Guess you got to kind of be a hockey guy. Brian Larson, East Grand Forks, head girls hockey coach. Welcome to the studios. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. Hey, tell us a little bit about yourself before we start talking hockey, okay?
Born and raised in East Grand Forks, graduated in 1980, played high school hockey. As a senior, we went to the state tournament when it was only one class.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty exciting, and been coaching ever since. Started in the Bantam level. Coached 5 years of the Bantam Bees, then graduated to Bantam A's for 10 years and took some time off when my son was born and helped out with the youth hockey then as he was growing up. And then Coach Grassel eventually talked me into coaching with the girls' high school hockey program, and I've been there ever since.
You know, it's funny because hockey, it's hard to get out of your blood, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Was it a big change for you, Brian, going from coaching boys to girls?
Oh, it's that's an understatement. Yes, it is. You know, when you watched it, and it took Coach Grassel three attempts to get me to come and coach,
mm-hmm.
and it's probably the best thing they ever did.
Yeah,
I've enjoyed it like you wouldn't believe. It is a different game with them, but I love it.
Yeah,
and I've just enjoyed it.
I want to touch back on something you said when you guys went to state in 80, back when it was just one class in Minnesota.
Yep.
What do you think now with two classes? I mean, it was, you could, back then it was a little different, but you could see the writing on the walls.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good thing, but that was really something when the East Grand Forkses and the Warroads and would go down there and battle it out with the Edinas and the teams like that. So, quite a big change, but what do you think of going to two classes?
You know, at first, being that guy that was always just with one class, a little skeptical. But right now, I think it's really, really good for the state of Minnesota with mm-hmm. the two class. You know, of course, back in the 80s and beforehand, the cities probably weren't as strong as what they are now.
Sure.
So it's easier for the small towns in Section 8
oh, yeah.
to be able to compete with them. But I think now as it stands, it's a good deal. And both classes are so strong.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's a great deal. It gives more kids that opportunity. to get down to St. Paul and experience that. So I enjoy it. I think it's good. Think it's
well, you know, a lot of these schools now are just turning into hockey factories.
Yeah.
I mean, we had that kind of rush a few years back. Same thing happened up here in Section 8. It seemed like all of a sudden Warroad or Roseau was offering nice jobs for parents to move up there so their kids could play hockey up there. And, I mean, I get it, but I'm just – hockey has really changed a lot. You know, not so much with the girls, but kids leaving early, kids moving, transferring to different schools just to play hockey. And you know, if you want to get an education and maybe carry your hockey career further on, that is what you almost have to do.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. You know, I think the state tournament would be better. You know, every school has that class or classes that have the athletes that come up. And to me, I think it would just be a better state tournament if, you know, you'd let each town's class and they go on. So you see somebody different all the time rather than the same teams year after year.
You know, you go through changes every year. You lose upperclassmen, you gain underclassmen. But how important is it? You've been a coach with the program for a long time, and it sounds like most of the people there are. But you don't hear too much when coaches are flipping and flopping jobs. But how important do you think that is to keep the same coach for as long as you can?
You know, I think it's good, but, you know, depending upon who comes in, too, with you know, some of the younger guys, you know, you look at like Tyler there, what he's doing with the boys program and where he's been and what he's been able to implement into his own program is pretty good. With me, it's been helpful that I've been around enough where the girls know who I am and I know who they are and what to expect. They know what to expect from me. In that aspect, it's good. So, I don't know if it's, you know, totally necessary, but you know, it does have its benefit also.
You know, coaching, has changed a lot over the years. I can remember, playing hockey, but coaches weren't always very nice. You know, what happens in the locker room stays in the locker room. Not like that way anymore. Nope. Did that change your coaching philosophy a lot or not too much?
You know, I was always, as we talked earlier, I was that slow defenseman, so to speak. Maybe not the guy that got the, you know, the recognition. So I kind of always was that rooting for the underdog kid that was probably one of your last two kids that made your A team or whatever. So I kind of use that style a little bit to my favor. Try to encourage those because I feel it's necessary. You need, you know, you got to have three good lines to be able to survive. You know, back, you know, when I first started in girls hockey, if you had one player, two players, or one line, you know, you were good,
golden,
You know, and now you kind of have to have that three lines. Just to be able to survive, one, because you can't throw out your top line all the time or they're going to get worn out by their team's top two lines or whatever the case may be. So, you know, so I kind of try to implement that where I'm trying to encourage everybody because I, especially with girls hockey and, you know, you don't have the numbers yet that you do with the boys. Try to encourage them so that you're getting your best out of that. Girl each
time. And I mean, you still, you know, I'm old school. I hate the statement, well, as long as they're having fun. I get that. And it should be fun. And hockey is fun. I mean, it's the greatest sport, I think, out there. But, you know, it's not fun going 0-15 or getting your butts handed to you all the time either. And so there's that kind of that fine balance between there. Does that get difficult with you? I mean, granted, East Grand Forks, since I've been here, I don't ever recall them having a bad season. So I suppose it's a little easier when you've got better teams.
Well, you know, when I first started, we probably weren't all that strong. Our third line was girls who had never played before. And that's what you're using. We had some foreign exchange students that had never even skated before.
Oh, boy.
and they were our third line and,
yeah.
and whatnot. And I guess my philosophy is when you talk about that is, yeah, I like to have fun, but you can't have fun unless you're working hard.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not working hard, then you can't be having fun. Like you say, it's not fun to go out and get beat every game. I don't care who you are. You can't have fun if that's the case. Now, if you've given it everything you got and you're enjoying it, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But to say, well, as long as I have fun and we're 0-16 or 0-20, I don't believe you're having that.
Yeah,
fun.
I hear you. Coach Larson, let's talk about your assistant coaches. Who's on your staff?
I have Dan Gasperlin, who I graduated with, was also a part of the 1980 team. He went on and played at Anchorage, Alaska, the Sea Wolves. He's been a good friend of mine forever. And he's been a head coach at the boys level in Alaska and with girls, so he's done it all. So I'm just grateful to have him. I have Chelsea Grassel, who I coached and came up in the system and is now a teacher at senior high in East Grand Forks. And it's just wonderful to have her. And Josh Beck, who played goalie and I coached as a youth coming up, and he helps our goalies and does a wonderful job. So I think I have a fantastic staff.
You mentioned having a girl on your coaching staff. How important is that when you're coaching girls? Because, you know, you kind of got to, like, be a counselor and a coach and a friend and all that stuff. And I'm guessing that kind of eases the pressure off of you a little bit.
Well, you know, all of that, I mean, it's something I feel you have to have. Obviously, you cannot go in the locker mm-hmm. room at any point in time. So, you know, we got to have that female presence where they can. And, you know, it's no different than boys, girls. They're doing things in the locker room that you don't want. So you got to have somebody that can go in there. But, I think it's very important that you have to have that girl presence.
You know, all hockey teams, high school hockey teams, rely on the youth programs. How is the youth program looking in Eastside right now?
You know, our numbers are fair. You know, we've had some really good volunteer and youth coaches. We're trying to implement, Judd Stouse and Tyler implemented a system with our squirts with the pep and doing different things, and we're trying to get the girls introduced into that also to develop their skills, and that's just starting, and they're starting to warm up to it, and so hopefully things can only get brighter and better for us.
All right, Coach Brian Larson, East Grand Forks High School girls hockey coach, head coach in the studio today. And we're going to talk about this season, losses and COVID coaching and all that here in just a couple of minutes. But first, tell you what, let Integrity Fundraisers help you. You know, it takes just as little time as 2 weeks, and they can help any school, sports teams, youth groups, nonprofits, help them all raise money for much needed funds. You can purchase personalized water bottles or mugs with your name and logo. And these things are laser engraved and they are really cool. They have drinkware, barbecue sets, cutting boards, poker and golf sets, all kinds of really cool stuff. They also support businesses in need of business cards, brochures, or any printed materials. And they do shipping over there too. With over 300 clients, including Grand Forks Best Source, and $3 million raised locally, and over 390,000 students served, well, you know what? I bet you they could help you, too. Integrity Fundraisers in the Grand Cities Mall. Call them up, 701-402-2171, and let Integrity Fundraisers help you. Back in the studios here at GFBS, East Grand Forks, girls high school hockey coach Brian Larson in the studios with us. Brian, how is COVID coaching compared to regular coaching?
Well, we haven't even had that chance to even coach. Normally at this time of the year, we would be over halfway done with our season. We normally start the last week in October. And by Christmas time, we've played over half our games. And we were supposed to start at one point on December 31st, which got moved back now to January 4th. So it's going to be a challenge. We still don't know all the protocols, the do's, the wants, and what we can do. you know, I hear a lot of things, and I don't know. Right now, we haven't had that opportunity per se to get out there. So we're going to find out. Hopefully, here in a week. I hope so. Anyway,
this has got to be a scheduling nightmare. I mean, how do you even put together a schedule? For one thing, now I'm a Minnesota resident. I live right outside of East Grand Forks, and I can't stand our governor. I think he's just messed up everything so bad. It seems like North Dakota is doing a pretty good job of their high school sports. I can't see why we can't do that there. But scheduling games has got to just be, like I said, a nightmare.
Yeah, you know, already we've had 8 to 10 games have already dropped off the schedule. I know our athletic director, Scott Kobrinsky, has already made a different schedule when the first five were canceled with the wave. And then now again, I think it's 3 or 4 games again have been canceled. I still haven't seen the new schedule because I don't know if he's got it done yet or how do you get it done?
Cobra's got to be pulling his hair out of his head.
I would think so. And I told him I would not want your job because what a nightmare.
Yeah.
You know, he said, well, I contacted some ADs and said, let's schedule. And they go, why? And he said, well, let's not get caught with our pants down. Let's try to get ahead of it. And if it gets canceled, we got to do it again. But we know we have to reschedule, so why not do it?
When are they saying now for a start date, hopefully?
January 4th, 1 week from today.
Okay, and how many practices will you even be able to get in? Are you going to be able to start playing games right away, or scheduling, will you have to? Or, I mean, everything is so goofy.
Yeah, right now we don't know when we can have the first game. Mm-hmm. You know, I think it was supposed to come out last week as to when we'd be able to start our games. I think everybody's been under the assumption, I think it's January 15th that they figured they could start, the 14th, 15th, somewhere in there. Now I'm hearing we don't know when. It's so up in the air, and I don't know how you try to make a schedule, and then they're saying you may have a limit of 2 games per week.
Yeah.
It's anyone's guess. I know that... you know, with Grand Forks, we've had a game scheduled twice now and Alex Hedlund does a super job over there and is trying to get us in the game where they raise money for the cancer over there. And now that game, I believe, was supposed to, our second time now, I believe it was supposed to be on the 4th or 5th, 5th, I believe. And now that's out. Because obviously we will not be able to play a game on the 5th because we have to have X amount of practices in. So, you know, it's like they're planning, they're trying to raise this money and do all these things, and it's been canceled twice. And I don't know whether it'll get rescheduled or not. I don't know.
And, you know, it's funny. Well, it's not funny. You watch North Dakota high school hockey is in full swing now. Each player... each student athlete, coaches, managers, I think they each get 2 wristbands so they can have 2 people come in. And I tell you what, you know, whether it be East Grand Forks, Central Red River, whatever, the Purper's always packed. And it was just weird watching Central and Red River open up the season with hardly anybody in that building. And it's the same thing with the Civic Center. I mean, when things get rolling, if they're going to limit it to 2 people per player or, you know, anybody on the staff, boy, I tell you what, that rink is going to seem awfully empty.
Yeah, for sure. You know, especially on the boys' side, you know, with girls, you know, we probably only get the 2 parents coming or whatnot. But definitely different if we're allowed to have parents. I've heard we may. I've heard we may not. Now it'll really get crazy if you can't. I mean, I'm hearing things where we don't get locker rooms that, you know, you have to come dressed, put your skates on, whether you're having a game and or practice. Can you imagine in northern Minnesota where you're
– yeah.
How does that work?
Yeah, and then you got to bring your stinky duffel bags home, yeah. And just like it was when you were playing youth hockey.
Right.
Coach, major losses from last year. Key players graduated, moved on.
You know, we lost both senior goaltenders. So we're pretty young in the net. We have Ashley Corbett is the only returner coming back, who was our JV goalie, who did a very nice job. So we're hoping for big things from Ashley. And then we have Britlin Rasmussen, who is coming off the 12U team. So it's going to be a little different. We've been used to 3 to 4 goalies for the last X amount of years, and now we're down to 2. Of course, when I first started, it was a luxury if we had 2.
Yeah.
and now we only have 1. We now have a JV program, which will be in its 3rd year.
Oh.
But with that, then we don't have our 15U anymore.
Okay.
And that's a challenge in itself, trying to get games, because not everybody has a JV team. Most do, but North Dakota, when you schedule at North Dakota, a lot of those do not. So it's kind of a challenge there also.
You know, you have coached a lot of girls that have gotten on to the next level. It's got to make you feel pretty good.
Yeah, you know, I feel bad for like a Leah Jensen, who went on and played at the University of North Dakota, and in her redshirt freshman year hurt her back lifting weights. And I don't think the people that were UND women's hockey fans really got to see what how special she really was, you know, which is too bad. And she ended up, I think, her senior year giving it up because it hurt too bad to even play. And then, you know, we had Haley Mack, who there's none other as far as competitor. You'll never come across people as competitive, boy, girl, doesn't matter. Haley was the most competitive person that I've ever dealt with. And, of course, went on Bemidji State and now had the chance to play for the Women's Whitecaps, so hopefully that gets to happen. And then Mac Lange also plays for Bemidji State. And then we've had other girls that have went on to Concordia and other places also. So, yeah, it's rewarding. It's nice. I want to try to get something up by our locker room that shows these girls that went on so that, the younger girls and the girls that are in a high school program get to see that, you know, there are people that have done well and moved on. And you know, it doesn't have to be just Division One.
And you know, it's kind of nice with Scanny being the head coach of Bemidji State. You know, Section 8 is so strong. And I think a lot of people would think, oh, he's just favoring Section 8 because he coached there for so long. But when you think about it, and this is how it always ends up, boys or girls high school hockey in Section 8, East Grand Forks, Thief River Falls, Warroad. You always have those three teams battling it out. But let's just face it, Section 8 has got some phenomenal hockey players, and they have for a long time.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, you can say whatever you want, but Scanny, he's out there getting the best players. And I've had some other coaches from out east or whatever who have said, I can't believe that nobody's going after these girls in Section 8 as they're trying to get them. And, you know, so what a luxury, even though they're right in Scanny's back door.
Yeah.
But it's perfect.
I have a tough, dumb question for you, because you coached men's and women's hockey, correct? Do you think that there's a – do you think girls excel at a certain part of the sport compared to the men's?
It's an interesting one.
Yeah, I don't know that they excel any differently. I think what I found with the girls is they appreciate you more than maybe the boys do.
Okay.
Because you're out there working with them. And, you know, I think the biggest challenge to me is probably the biggest difference to your question would be confidence. Boys, they have all the confidence in the world. And I think, you know, the girls are just leery of, I don't want to make that mistake. I don't want everyone looking at me, that type of thing. And I think if you can get them to get that out of their head, then they can excel and do anything that any guy does. But I think that's probably the biggest thing is the confidence.
You know, they say girls mature faster than guys. And I was interviewing a boys' high school hockey coach here a few years back, and I asked him, I said, are the boys ready? He says, you never know. He goes, sometimes they act like they're 3. Sometimes they act like they're 23. You never know if the boy's going to show up or the men are going to show up. Do you get that same thing with the girls, or do they really, really mature faster than maybe the boys do?
Maybe certain ways.
I don't mean to put you on the spot.
You really don't know what you're going to get. And with girls, it's different where, you know, if before the locker room with the guys and they're quiet and you're going, okay, they're ready. Most of the time, if your locker room's pretty quiet with the girls, you got to be nervous because they're probably nervous as all get up.
Uh-huh.
And it's like, oh boy, may not be good. But if all, and you know, if it's loud, they're goofing, or I don't want to say goofing around, but loud.
Loose.
And loose. That's probably when they're going to play their
mm-hmm.
best.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect, it's different. And not all the time when they're loud and that they play well, but that's kind of a good indicator that maybe things that's where my assistant, Dan Gasparini, he's trying, I can't believe they're like this. Just relax. You just don't know, you know.
You know, everything's so up in the air. Do you kind of have it figured out how the whole section, if we would have had a regular season, I mean, and even when we get rolling here, have you kind of got an idea how the section's going to shake out towards the end here come tournament time, or is it going to be like it usually is with those top three teams?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Warroad will be heads and shoulders above everybody like always. And, you know, Thief's going to have a strong team. Crookston's going to be very improved this year. They've started to get some good numbers coming up through their youth, and their youth have done pretty well. So it's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle for us this year,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see where we land. You know, usually it's been between Thief and us, who's going to be second.
Yep,
third,
who's going to take on Warroad, yeah.
And who's going to take on Warroad first. And so it's going to be interesting to see how the year pans out this year.
Now, how does Warroad end up being so good all the time on the girls' side? Are they still bringing in people? You can just shake your head if you want. Okay, all right.
Yeah.
And, you know, me, even being from Thief River, you know what happened? It wasn't girls back then, but there were guys that went up to either to Warroad or Roseau. And the funny thing is I think every one of them probably went on to play D1 college hockey and maybe some NHL stuff too. But where is the Section 8 tournament supposed to be this year?
I'm not 100% sure. I think it may be in Warroad this
okay.
year.
Okay, okay. How do you like the new rink up there? I mean, it's not that new anymore, but
yeah, it's not that new. It's you know, for most teams, it's probably difficult to play because you're on that Olympic size
mm-hmm.
rink.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're used to it, and they do a super job with the talent they have to utilize that to their strength. So it's difficult. Although we did win our section the year we did go in 2014 in Warroad,
mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, we beat Warroad in overtime, two overtimes I believe, and then turned around and beat Thief River Falls in two overtimes,
yeah,
in Warroad. So it isn't like it's impossible, but you know, it's a big advantage to them because they're used to playing.
Yeah, and why did they put an Olympic size rink in up there for a high school hockey team? You know, you don't have the Lakers up there or the amateur teams anymore. But to me, it makes no sense to put an Olympic rink in when it's primarily used for youth hockey and high school hockey. But is there any advantage, do you think, to having an Olympic size rink when I would say 98% of the teams you're playing don't?
Yeah, I guess I don't know why they did that. I know at a, for a while there, there were, you know, communities that were putting in the Olympic size rink, I think at the time. I don't know if, you know, they thought that was going to be the trend and, and that most rinks were going to do that now, the new rinks. But now it just it hasn't gone over as well. Now you don't see it anymore. You know, I mean, Minnesota there, they put in the Olympic size rink when they put in the college rink.
I mean, it'd be good for practices if there's ever one of those days where you're not happy with your team and you're going to go skate the bejesus out of them. I could see that.
Yeah. I guess I don't know. I don't know what their philosophy was and why they did that. But that's what they have, so that's what you got to deal with.
Yeah. Brian, we've got a lot of people watching and chiming in. Jeremy says he was my hockey coach. Great guy, great coach. Good for him. Ben Solem, Sen Bolum Speed, used to work for Brian at the Civic, known him forever. 10 out of 10 guy at an East Sider. there you go. A lot of people watching. And you know, we want to be a part of this when it gets rolling here. But can we be one of the first people you call when they figure out this dang schedule?
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, we want to keep you guys on in tournament time. We want you to come back, too. We're probably going to get all the coaches on. But I'm going to ask you, Brian, a question that I have asked every coach that has been on the show. How do you want to be remembered as a coach?
It's a good question.
I mean, coaches to me growing up were a big influence in my life. And I know coaches can be just that, but how do you want to be remembered?
Hopefully, that just somebody that was willing to help and, you know, make them a better player and person, I think is, I'm not going to be the, go out on a limb and say I was their X and O's type of guy or they learned this or that. But hopefully somebody that was fair, honest, and made them a better player and a person.
Yeah, because there's more to hockey than just the sport itself.
Right, right.
I was going to ask you one more thing. You, the way you, just talking to you, today's the first day I've met you. Doesn't seem like you're ready to give this up anytime soon.
Well, you know, I go in every year, and I think I got that from Scanny. You wait, and then you see how the year goes and whatnot. But, yeah, I just, it's like I said, I enjoy it, you know, and the season hits, and you're going, and it goes so fast and whatnot. It's always enjoyable. Like I said, I've just been so happy to be involved with the girls and it's been a joy and thoroughly enjoy doing it.
Yeah, I got one question too for you really quick, and you probably don't have an answer, but what do you think that people could do to get women's hockey back at UND?
Good question. I don't know the answer. I'd love to see it because, you know, it's so hard for the girls in East Grand, Crookston, Thief, surrounding areas because they have nothing to aspire to. It's you know, they don't get to see Bemidji play like they would at UND. I'd love to see it back. I think it'd be great for the sport.
You know what gets me is UND. It was a money thing. A lot of it was a money thing. But Bemidji State, smaller campus, smaller school, they seem to be doing just fine with their women's hockey program.
Right. I don't know. I think the worst part of the whole thing was how I really feel for the young ladies that were there and how it came down for them when you're out on the ice and you're hit with that out of the blue.
Yeah, that was crappy.
And then they were just given the okay to have a girl come down that they were trying to recruit on the day they take the program away.
Yeah.
I mean, why would you do that?
Somebody up in upper management, somebody didn't get the memo or something, but even to pull that on your coaches,
right?
That because they're the ones that got to lay it all out for their players,
right?
And so basically, you're just letting somebody else do all your dirty work for you,
right?
Not a good thing.
It goes beyond hockey, too. I mean, you look at the Lamoureux twins, you know, going on and getting, and how much, after getting their gold medals, I mean, how many things have they done for, you know, in the community for all the women in sports and everything, too?
Right.
So it goes way beyond even just hockey, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
Brian, the racing fans are now starting to text. Jane says, likes car racing. Tom Corcoran, old guy racing. Brian's also a racing dad, super guy. So you don't even have to be all the time in the hockey world to know you are, and you're a good guy. And do you ever still go to the racetrack?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Have to come up and sit in the booth with me one time this next year.
Yeah. Yeah, I still go. I usually go in the pit stance and watch so I don't have to listen to certain fans who think they're better at it than those that are actually doing it.
So. I thought you were going to talk about the announcer.
No. No, I can't hear you when I'm in the stands.
No, I know. They got to work on that sound system. Wow. Brian Larson, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, thank you.
And once the season gets rolling, good luck.
Thank you.
And we will have you back again. There you go, Brian Larson, East Grand Forks High School girls head hockey coach. And man, I don't know what I'm going to do now. My hockey fix is kind of over. Out of high school hockey coaches to interview, but we'll figure something out. Wow. Special thanks going out to Executive Properties. You know, if you've been putting off that remodel or maybe something new around your house long enough, then you get a hold of Executive Properties. They do all types of commercial and residential work, and they do good work, whether it be your kitchens, your bathrooms, maybe doors, siding, concrete, cabinets, trim, tile. They do it all. They're going to take the time to listen to what you want done, and they're going to do it the way you want it, and they're going to do it the right way. Over 30 years experience, probably pushing 35 now. Let Barry Romo and that crew take care of you. They offer senior and referral discounts. They're willing to work with any budget. And as you found out after this weekend, shoveling snow is a bummer. Well, Executive Properties does snow removal too. Call them up, 701-330-1273, or go to executiveproperties.org. Make sure you check out the reviews on Facebook and Google. You're going to love their work. I know these guys personally, and they do an incredible job. Executive Properties, your one-stop company that can do it all. Hey, don't forget, we're now on Amazon Music. Tell your smart speaker to play GFBS Podcast. We're looking for your five-star reviews on Google, too. And if you didn't know this, we are on Pandora now. How about that? Hey, tomorrow, David Waterman is back. The Midwest Public Health Coalition, to mask or not to mask. Get ready to get those texting fingers warmed up. And make sure you like us, share us, and tag us too, okay? We're Grand Forks' best source, giving Grand Forks an identity again.